This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Woo. This is Babs Gray. And look, if you don't have someone to kiss at New Year's, just cry, because the taste of tears kind of feels like a kiss.
Oh, beautiful.
That's the name of my upcoming self-help book.
Punchy.
I like it. I'm Brandy Posey, and my pussy is so tight it gets visited by three ghosts on Christmas Eve. Like,
wait,
cheap.
What?
Tight. Is another word for cheap?
Okay.
You know,
I see.
That's the math of it. Yeah.
You're going to get Ebenezer screwed?
Hey!
Whoa!
I'm Tess Barker, and what should I get my phone for Christmas?
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the last, or the first, well, this one's coming out Christmas. This is the last Lady to Lady of 2019.
Of the decade.
Oh my God, it is.
Yeah, last Lady to Lady of the
decade. People keep saying that about everything, and I like, it has no impact on me.
No.
Should it?
No, but nothing has much impact on me right now.
No. We made up time.
That's true. Okay, good. Yeah, someone, I was taking a class or something, and they were like, it's the last one of the decade.
Oh,
and I was
gosh.
Like, all right.
I'm always, it doesn't need to be this dramatic. Also, yeah. I always get confused by that, because it's like the century you're in is like the year before. Like, we're in the 21st century, even though it isn't 2100 yet. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I can't say I've ever fully, like, remembered that.
Yeah, it always kind of
stresses me out. So wait, what century are we in right now?
21st century.
Oh, okay.
In the 20th,
so you add one.
Yeah, you add one.
Okay, to be I never knew if you added or subtracted.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, when?
I think I'm right.
So when it's the 20, so we'll be in the 22nd century in 2100.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, because like the first century of the years were like 55, 56, 57.
Yes.
Because it's, so it's kind of like when you're one, you're actually zero.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We are in the 21st. I just typed in, what century are we in? Just to
anyways, check. You guys can tell we've learned a lot this year. It's just us, so this is your little Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little
congratulations.
Holiday.
Thank you for being present with us.
Mm-hmm. We love your presents.
Yes, and also hi to, you know, I listen to other podcasts and they always say hello to like new listeners and stuff, and I was like, oh, we never do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Hi to listeners new and old. Thank you for coming along this journey with us. Of how long have we been doing it now?
7 years.
Seven years.
The better part of this decade.
Yeah. Most of this decade.
That's crazy.
That's really nuts.
Yeah.
Someday I will actually force myself to go listen to like the first few episodes.
Ooh.
And see what the hell is going on then.
I don't know if I have that in me. I mean, do you guys like, are you good with like reading your old work and stuff like that?
Yeah.
A little bit. If I want to like be re-inspired by something a little bit, or I forget stuff all the time. Like I do, I'll re-listen to tracks on my album to be like, how did that joke go? And then I'll be like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
I've definitely done that a few times.
I think
times.
I would only do it with stand-up, just because you kind of, you don't have to, but it really helps. Mm-hmm. But no, it's generally a nightmare.
It's very cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Rereading a journal is difficult sometimes, for sure. To be like, oh man, you're really dramatic,
yes,
in a way that
those
isn't actually real.
Yeah, well, and I guess, I mean, it's probably a good thing, but I feel like,
yeah,
you know, you obviously keep getting better at things. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to like look back at things that I was, and maybe I still suck, but it's hard for me to like look back at
but
things.
But it doesn't make you feel good to know that you've gotten better sometime?
You know, I wouldn't know because I do it so infrequently.
Right, yeah.
Maybe it would make me feel better.
Yeah.
But
I think usually I feel better. I mean, I feel stupid, obviously. Like, you're like, oh, what the fuck was this? But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But most of the time I'm like, okay, at least I'm not doing that anymore.
I should probably read some because I might have good stuff.
You probably, you I'm sure, do. Would yeah. be good. And also, you know, it mm-hmm. just, I don't know. I don't think it's ever a bad thing. I think it can only help, right?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know what my block is about it. I just.
But I think we're always just so busy, too. It's like, when do you have time to go backwards or look at the past? It's very hard to think of time for that.
Because, like, something does happen. I mean, like, the musical I wrote, actually, like, at the beginning of this decade, I was talking to my partner who I wrote that with, and we were, like, kind of had this idea for doing, like, a rewrite of it, which we might still do. But I'm like, God, that would just be so weird to, like, get back in the headspace of something mm-hmm. that I wrote 10 years ago.
Which is a different person now, too.
Yeah.
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 That would be really weird. I agree. To like something that took up such a big part of your life. But I don't think reading an old thing would do that.
No. But I guess I don't. Yeah. Like you said, like who has the time? And then unless you're actually thinking of using it for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that lately too. Cause I want to go back and read some of my old pilots and stuff like that. Cause I haven't written a ton this year and I want to be like, just go back and be like, what do I have? Like if somebody was, let's like, give me every sample you've written, you know, not everything, but like every finished mm-hmm. script or something.
Yeah,
it would be really good to go back and read those. And
yeah, to know
like,
what those
is this
are.
Worth shit or not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that though. I think usually I surprise myself, especially with comedy stuff, because I'll laugh. I'll be like, "Oh, this is actually funny." You know, when you completely forget about a joke or something you wrote, it's kind of like a nice surprise.
Because then you get to be kind of like the audience member.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's nice to not remember anything.
Yeah, this writer's pretty talented.
Entertain yourself.
I have this screenplay that I worked on right out of college. I mean, I think I was smart to do this because, like, I majored in screenwriting in college, and then I didn't take any breaks writing like that. I graduated in May, and then June I started my next screenplay. Like, I just went, you know. But I obsessively worked on this screenplay my first year out of college, and I would work on it every single day. Mm-hmm. I probably did, like, 20 complete rewrites of it.
Wow.
Like, I spent, like, two
Holy
years.
Shit.
That's just what I did every day is I'm going to work on this. Guess what it's about. You're not going to be able to guess. It's an allegory for the Bush administration that takes place in the world of an Abercrombie & Fitch catalog.
Oh my God. Catalog? Or what do you mean?
It was almost like Pleasantville, where it was like you jumped in and it was like the characters that lived in this weird like black and white world where everyone's kind of like naked and in jeans.
Real sexy Pleasantville.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Maybe. I wonder. It was so weird.
Yeah.
I should read that because that's
what I miss though, because I do feel like I was a lot weirder when I feel like my brain was a lot more free to get weird, you know?
The less you know how the industry works too, the more you're just like, yeah, no, I'll just this.
Yeah.
This is the thing out there. Yeah.
I think it was a lot more like freeing to, mm-hmm. you know, before it became so like serious and like.
Yeah.
Every time you write something now, it's like, oh, this better be a thing that gets me a job or whatever.
Yeah,
you know
are people
I mean?
Into this
I don't know
right
that
now?
I've
it's
ever
hot.
Not been in that
yeah.
headspace.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been a long life. but yeah. Yeah. And it's like weird too, because like there's this, I mean, like we just, I don't know. You don't really transfer files from old computers. Like, I feel like things get lost in the shuffle.
Oh, totally.
Too.
That's why I'm like pretty religious about Dropbox on my last couple of computers because, well, the last two have also gotten stolen. So, like, after losing one thing on a desktop, it's like, nope, everything lives in the cloud now.
Smart.
Yeah. I just am so paranoid about ever losing anything that matters. There's definitely photos and old stuff that I just like kind of can't even think about not being able to access that ever again. I'm just like, no, it's on the cloud. And then I'll just never look it up.
Yeah, that's better to think about it that way.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a lot of stuff on those old things that I just kind of am like, well, then it's lost to the, you know, the ether.
Do you guys feel like you look at photos less now or more like when you had like more physical photos and stuff?
I never look at photos.
Yeah.
I never sit there and look at them on my phone. I never do.
I've got like a couple of folded photo albums from like high school and stuff.
I go back on my Instagram and I'll look at that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I've got a few like books that I guess like, yeah, once every 2 years or something. But
sometimes like with my photos, if I'm scrolling through looking for a certain photo, then I'll stop on a different one and be like, huh.
Mm,
okay. But I feel like when I had hard copies of photos, I looked at them pretty often.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys do this when you were in high school? Like when you went to a dance or whatever, you would give all your friends a picture of the, and then you would just walk around with like 200 pictures with you at all times?
Yeah, and then you would like sign your friends.
Yeah.
Totally.
I do have a little stack of my friends' dance photos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I used to have like a... with all the photos for your wallet. And yeah. I used to have all my friends in it. And I, there was my senior year. I like, when I got everyone's senior portraits, I cut out their heads and I put them on funny little stick bodies. So oh, I like, I like drew little ones bodies for all of like their stuff that made them like characters.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So I had a whole wallet of those. I loved those.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I like that that was a ploy from the photographers. You'd be like, you got to pay for more so your friends can get your trading cards. Of
yeah. Your- exactly.
It plays on everything high school kids like, which is like, yourself, mm-hmm. spending your parents' money,
yeah,
your friends,
yeah, yeah, rating your friendships by like things that you get,
yeah, transactional relationships.
Wonder if kids are still doing that. Is that still happening at high school dances?
I don't think so.
Yeah, the physical photos aren't happening anymore.
No, I don't think you could find a teen nowadays that has a stack of photos.
Not a stack, but I bet they get still get physical, like, you know, mm-hmm. they're like. Them and their boyfriend who they think they're gonna be with forever.
That's a really great question. I mean, I wonder. I kind of, if I had to guess, I bet it's just like a digital file and you can like order some if you want.
Probably.
Because like when you run a marathon, that's what I mean. Like I feel like most photo companies just send you like a link and if you want to buy one, you just
and
do.
You probably post it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can post it on your Instagram, then that's just where it is.
I mean, it's like I'm nostalgic for that, but I also like it makes sense. We just have so much shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's your, those little, those pictures, like, sure, I'm going to like look at them someday and be like, oh, yeah, that. But it's also just, it's just taking up room.
I did just like the couple of days waiting for like a disposable camera to be developed, though. And
yes.
being like, oh, what's going to be on it? Oh, everything's just gray. Cool.
Yeah, never a good picture.
I just was texting with my childhood best friend, and I had kind of forgotten we did this, but when we were in fifth grade, mm-hmm. we were like wild cards. First of all, in fourth grade, we were doing a play about the history of California,
uh-huh.
and she and I dressed as prostitutes. Like, we hated our teacher, so to get back at her, we dressed like prostitutes.
Wait, what?
Without telling her.
The history of California.
Yeah, because we were like, there was prostitutes in the saloons and stuff, and right. so without telling our teacher, we... We had like garters on our legs, red lipstick, a beauty mark, and we just showed up in the school play dressed as prostitutes. And then the next year we put on these like ridiculous, it was similar costuming to the prostitute costume, but like more funky and ridiculous. And we just made ourselves look like really batshit crazy and like unattractive and made these really crazy faces.
Oh.
And then we went down to Walgreens and got Christmas cards printed up that had that. And we gave them out to everyone.
Do you have those still? That would be amazing.
I would love to track down a copy of that.
Shit. Yeah.
Fuck. Because that was really, really fun. Because we didn't tell our parents or anything that we were doing it. And, like, that was the best anticipation, like, waiting for those to print.
That's really fun.
That's so funny. Oh, man. Did you guys ever do glamour shots?
No, I never got glamour shots. I mean, those looked like fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Remember my aunt and my cousin, her daughter, like, both got them done, and they looked exactly the same. And it's, like, the only time.
We definitely had a few family members who I think did them and would send them as, like, gifts to
What a hell of a gift.
Disturbing.
What if you, can you imagine like sending a photo of yourself to somebody as a present?
I mean,
now?
I can as a joke.
Yeah.
I did drive by Tom's one of our photos the other day and was like, oh, that could be fun.
Oh, I want to go. Can we go? I would love to go.
We should go.
Wait, what is it?
Tom's on our photo.
It's like one of the only places you can still get, you know, fast photos developed. But Casey Musgraves like found it. She had to develop things really fast.
Cool.
She talked about it and became this big thing. And so they basically take like very old school, almost glamour shot looking picture where you hold like a rose in front of a gray background, or, you know,
And like the guy just seems really sweet. And it's just like this feel good story of like this small business that just blew up because of Casey Musgraves, basically.
Yeah. Aww, that's really sweet.
It's cute. And I didn't know where it was. And I just drove by it the other day. I was like, oh, it's like right there.
Where is it?
It's like kind of by where you used to live, actually.
Okay, over
it's
Normandy?
Like right, yeah, like yeah. K-Town? It's like right in Koreatown.
Nice.
Right there.
That's super cool. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should go get one.
We got our JCPenney.
Yeah,
all right. JCPenney photos are great. I really want us to like do a picture of us as like the three girls and like the ice cream thing, like for that podcast meme.
Oh, that's a funny idea.
Oh, that's cute.
I think it'd be really funny if we did that.
Which one of us is the? Oh wait, no, it's three girls. And then who's gonna be the one listening?
Well, I think we. This is where I think that's what we buy as an advertisement, and then people can go and stand in front of it, and they can be the person listening.
I was gonna say, yeah, listeners have to be able to put themselves in.
Yeah,
the-
yeah, yeah. I think it's a meme we put out there. Print it, put it up. This is our street
saying.
Teams.
What if we do like a Peasoup Anderson stitch? Where
I think
there's
that's
a
what
cutout.
You're saying, right? I thought that's what you were saying.
No. I was thinking like we are the photo, and then like a physical person would like stand in front of like a like if we bought like an ad at like the Eagle Rock Plaza or something.
Right, right, right.
And then like,
people, but you're basically saying the same thing. You're seeing a cutout face.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a cutout version of it. Yeah,
that's fun.
I like this.
Yeah,
I like this. That.
I'm pretty into it. I would just like to be a cutout. That's like a level. This next decade, let's make that a goal, guys.
Yeah, and we can make that, like, we just have to order it.
Our friend Whitney had a cutout at her wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could stand there and be her and Adam with their
holding
cat.
The cat.
Oh, that's funny.
It was adorable, but, like, Whitney and I have pretty much the same hair color.
so it looked kind of
really disturbing. Not disturbing, but it just kind of, like, makes you second guess.
Yeah, it looked too real.
Yeah.
That's really
but yeah, it would be so funny if you just merch if you start selling cardboard cutouts of yourself.
Oh my god!
Oh, for sure.
Full size. I don't know how the fuck you would get that anywhere, but
dude,
would be really funny.
My sister got what you know in any other situation would be this amazing life size light up from the 80s, like must have been in a casino or something. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Ooh.
A few years ago.
Ooh.
And it's like at my mom's house in the room where we store all the shit.
Yeah.
That's fun to see when you just go into the storage room.
I know. And it's like, honestly, in any other situation, would be such an amazing, like, cool, like, vintage piece. And now, yeah, but now every time I go in that room, there's just a giant Jacko.
Ah, oh, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like such a score at the time.
They ruined it.
They knew why they were getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Get out in time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, I mean, my dog's full name is Michael Jackson Heart Attack Jr., and we just call him Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been called Jack forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's always been called Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't, like, switch it.
Yeah, I just, like, now I hesitate before I don't tell everybody his full name.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I'm always like, it's because it was the day he died. That's why. That was the that decade just happened.
Oh, yeah.
In June. It was the 10 years of Michael Jackson's death, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I have to say, like, that did feel like a, like, shift when that happened.
Yeah.
When he died. That felt like the beginning of a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Like, well, 2010 did feel like the beginning of a decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? This doesn't... Maybe it's just because we're older and, like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think this might, too. I think I feel
you
like
think
next
it's going
year,
to feel like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think next year is going to be pretty fun.
I don't feel shit right now.
I'm looking forward to 2020 quite a bit. I just want this one to be over. I'm kind of just like trying to write it out.
Right, yeah.
December always kind of feels, especially like a big December like this, always feels like kind of a hibernation month a little bit of just like, okay, just like pull your
That's
energy.
That's what I want, but it hasn't been feeling like that yet. So I'm like, God damn it. When do I get to the hibernation part? Because I'm really ready to like extract myself from reality for a minute.
Me too. Yeah. I know. I get so salty. Like maybe one year I'll get to just relax at Christmas.
Yeah.
It won't be this year, but like all I want is like, it's so weird because it's this time where you're supposed to visit everyone. And I love visiting people and I love my family and everything. But like, it's almost like you need two Christmases. Like you need the one where you just get to like hang out with your man and like not put on a bra and like just eat shit. And the one where you like pop around and bebop and see everyone.
Yeah. You need the recovery Christmas.
You need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There should be a second one. I'd be into that. Like a summer Christmas. Every 6 months you get some sort of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be some other deity's birthday we can build some shit around. I don't know. Or just make it.
I guess we get a three-day weekend like pretty soon in the new year, but it's not quite enough.
No. Yeah. Well, it's like in theory, I make my own schedule for a lot of the part too. So it's like I could in theory just hang out. It might just be like the calls coming from inside the house.
Yeah, so to give yourself the space
to relax. But it's tough
because
when everyone's doing it, that's what's so nice about the holidays is it feels like everyone's finally...
Mm-hmm.
We just need like a complete decision where it's like, all right, everybody, let's all back off for a week. Well, called back off week. Everyone just chills.
Well, it's funny because there's so much stuff about the holidays that I'm like, why don't we do this year round? Like, why aren't there fun lights up all the time and like things just feel more whimsical just in general?
I mean, but then it couldn't. You can't maintain that. I think that's the problem.
But I mean, I think if you take the pressure off of it, it's not like every day needs to be like that. But like, I don't know, just stuff's just like up. It's just like,
but that's
nice.
Not as, I don't think it's as special then.
I guess
if it's up all the time. Time.
I guess I don't care
like
if
I
it's
love
special.
Christmas trees, but I would want to see it all the time, but it does feel like it's nice when it has its like time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I wish there was just like a different fun thing for like every month or something. Just kind of like a, I don't know, just something that was just like whimsical happening all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's how I feel about summer. I wish it was all the time.
Yeah.
Summer is my Christmas.
Yeah.
No doubt.
For three
about
months.
It.
It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just heard that there's a, I should look up the name of it. There's a new Christmas tree company that started in California where they bring you a potted Christmas tree. And then after the season, they pick it back it? And they take it and they plant it.
I think I've heard about that. That's pretty cool.
It's a great idea. I love that.
There's also one where you can send them, I don't think it's in California, but you can send it to a big cat reserve and they all like play with the old trees and shit.
Oh, fun.
That's really cute.
So we got some options.
Yeah. I'll just put mine in the recycle bin probably, but
Yeah, that always, like, that whole month of January. It's always funny when you see, like, one Christmas tree in, like, the middle of February, and you're like, oh, shit,
If I got a real one, that would be me, for sure.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I just am bad at, you know, it take forever to do anything.
Yeah, that's always, like, it's very tough for me to take down my tree, because I do very much love Christmas, and I really love having a tree. But part of that is, too, like, I kind of need to do it, like, the weekend of New Year's for that reason. Like, I just need to get it over with.
Like, too, you're, like, lingering.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I am like anal. I guess I am kind of anal about Christmas. Like, I need to have a real tree.
Yeah. What's your favorite ornament on here, Tess?
Oh, that's a good question. I really like the Dunkin' Donuts ornament I just got.
That's a great one.
It's pretty good.
It's like a Homer Simpson's pink. Homer Simpson's pink?
Yeah.
Homer Simpson's pink donut.
It's like a pearlized Homer Simpson pink donut. Yeah. And then, let's see. I like the typewriter that my mother-in-law got me.
Did you guys have like a first Christmas ornament together or anything?
We do. That wedding cake that says 2018.
Oh, aww, cute. Yeah.
That's really cute.
Yeah. I don't know. They're kind of like, ornaments are like a fun thing. It's also that thing of like, you only see them once a year. So like you keep getting surprised by them every
year. That's what I like. Yeah. I really,
That part is nice.
I like
about
that tradition of it. I mean, it kind of like reminds you, especially, because, you know, I have all those ones from like having parties where people make them. So it's like, oh, I remember, you know, someone making this one or
I love doing those at your house. Those are a blast.
Yeah. It's always kind of like fun revisiting them.
That reminds me of like when I was in high school. Did you guys have like magazine clippings all over all your walls in high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's something I'd like to know if like high school kids still do or not.
I think that's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I see like, yeah, there's still posters and shit all over.
Yeah.
I used wallpaper paint to put mine on.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
My parents said next they approved level that, and I don't... Then they were like, what the fuck is this? I had, like, Will Smith's face, like, plastered on my wall.
Man, I used to have... I had a cutout of a giant Oscar that I made a sign that said Jim Carrey's Oscar pointing at it. Because I was trying to, like, will him to getting one.
Oh, my God.
I was like, he's so on brand. I think it might have been my first shrine.
Yeah. That sounds right. Oh, yeah. I had a straight up... I can't believe I glued that. Oh, what the fuck? Then they didn't notice for like years.
Which Will Smith was it?
It was like... It was just like a clipping from a fucking...
magazine.
Thing. I don't know. It was like lots of guys. I just had like general...
Yeah.
I'm horny for...
No, I love how we were just telling our parents like, this is what we're jerking it to.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah.
General, I'm horny to attract... I'm horny to attracted...
Yeah.
I'm horny to attracted men.
All right. We're going to take a break. I can't talk. Bye.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
Happy end of the year. We hope your 2019 and your decade treated you okay. We'll do a few. There's a few little wrap up. 10 interesting new reflection questions for you. Let's see. What was this one? Oh, I saw one I liked and now I can't find it. What are you proud of this year?
God, I feel like I'm at a this feels like a holiday dinner. I mean, God, this stuff is always like where my aphantasia comes out the most, because I'm like, what happened this
it's
year
very it's hard to remember. I mean, obviously blank. It's a lot easier, you kind of just like, I'm more like, I think about the last few months because that's all I can fucking think about.
Yeah, for sure. I had a great birthday this year because I did the Miami karaoke trip for the basketballer.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking dope.
It was very cool to have a skill that I learned earlier this decade come back and then give me like a baller job because of it. So it kind of just justified like weird former job decisions in a fun way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I wouldn't have gotten hired if I hadn't been a karaoke host for years. Now I'm friends with the NBA basketball player.
Which one?
Shane Battier. That's, yeah. I told this story on here, right?
No, you told the story. I didn't know you were friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're like buddies. He sent me.
Let's talk a little more about this.
He sent me some headphones for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
So fucking cool.
Yeah, like on his Christmas card list. They're like a wireless, but they have like my initials on the side.
What?
And the box has like his foundation's name on it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sent me like a thank you.
That's like I want to be like that rich where I can just like send everyone I meet.
Yeah.
I know. It's
pretty cool.
Christmas present?
Dinner with a friend without like blowing up everyone's butt. I was having dinner with a friend who's friends with a very famous person recently.
Yeah.
And like we were just like talking like shamelessly about like what are they going to get you for Christmas?
Yeah.
Like how fun. I think being friends with like a super celebrity is way more fun than being a super celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get all the runoff without having to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Ian Carmel posted like getting cake from Tom Cruise for the second year because he works at Late Late Show.
It's amazing.
That's so weird.
What kind of cake does Tom Cruise get?
I don't know. He posted about it last year and I can't remember the details, but
might almost be afraid to eat Tom Cruise's cake.
Just like a little Scientology.
Because like, when's the last time Tom Cruise ate cake? Does he even remember cake?
No, that's why he sends it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's
one of those people that likes to watch you eat something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got that energy for sure.
I'm just picturing like a vein bulging up his forehead while he watches you eat cake.
How's the icing?
I'm just imagining him like making them all individually in like a fucking basement or something.
He'd be so angry cooking.
I will say, and like, I don't know. I get really disappointed when I find out that actors I like are Scientologists, as we all do.
Of course, yeah.
But for some reason, like, my love for Tom Cruise has been pretty unwavering.
Hmm.
He just seems like a Scientologist, so I think almost built into it.
Well, he's
like,
the prototype.
Because Juliette Lewis, I'm like, oh, man, she seems like a free thinker.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Beck
yeah.
seems like a free thinker. Tom mm-hmm. Cruise is like, yeah, as advertised, a psychotic Scientologist.
You're built to be.
Yeah.
You're a robot of a human,
yeah.
and therefore it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. You'd be leading this cult if you didn't have a movie career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Was Juliette Lewis born into it? Because, like, yeah. I kind of give a different pass to the kids that are, like, born into it.
Definitely.
Because, like, Beck's same way, where it's, like, you grew up that way. So, it's, like, your whole...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Elizabeth Moss, too.
Yes.
Born into Scientology.
I think about her every time I watch The Handmaid's Tale, because how are you a Scientologist and in that TV show?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy.
Well, they got you the job. That's how.
I mean, on that note, I'm, like, this close to...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, we talked about it. We've talked about it. I would go. Okay, oh, Tess, what are some of you're proud of? Say it.
Okay, I don't know. I'm usually proud of shit I've written, I guess. I don't know. I really like the play that I wrote. I think it's really funny.
And one of our listeners is doing it.
One of our listeners
That's
is doing
so cool.
it.
I love that.
So fucking stoked on that.
It's a high school teacher?
I think it's high school, yeah.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. But yeah, it's just like a fun comedy. And writing a play is a cool thing because it just has such a like longer life than other things because it's just like there can be so many different incarnations of it. And
that is cool. Yeah, you never know when it could like come back and have another life again.
Yeah.
It's not like a TV show where it's kind of like...
That's what it was.
Yeah. Unless you're fucking, you know, Arrested Development or something, it's not going to come back in a few years with like a new season.
Yeah. But absolutely. It plays like a living document.
Yeah.
That and I learned how to make omelets.
Oh.
Well, I mean, omelets are difficult.
They are. It's been haunting me for like ever, and I finally got it, and I love omelets, so that's been a big thing.
That's pretty good. I feel like that's a very specific, like, it's so fun to learn a skill like that, because it's just like something you can really focus in on and like say goodbye to like all the other bullshit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously what's nice about cooking in general.
Also, like any of those, cooking or any of those artsy things where it's like, it's just about like you... No one can really explain it to you. Like, you kind of just have to, like, get it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, I am really into cooking. And, like, I've tried to... I still haven't mastered making pasta because it's the same thing where it's, like, you watch the YouTube videos, but it's just about, like...
Got to be in there.
Getting finessing it, like, just right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun, like, it's like a math problem to solve almost, which I really like about that kind of stuff.
A friend Ivy the other day was... I went to brunch with her this weekend, and she was telling me about her... boyfriend Joey is really good at making deviled eggs, and they went to a party this past
that
weekend.
That is a very easy thing to make, but okay.
Oh, no, but he's got like a good recipe. He's like very proud of them, but he did something where he like they were too soupy, And ooh, she was describing it in a way that I like almost died. I was just like, you got to stop telling me about these soupy eggs.
Lord.
That phrase, soupy eggs.
I know. It's deeply upsetting.
That's not something Brandy should ever hear.
No, no, no. I was curled in a ball as she kept describing it. I was like, just throw it away.
Also, like, that is so funny to me that a guy would be proud of that because that is one of the easiest things to make.
You make a good one. You make a good one. You got to be proud.
Apparently.
Hey, how many guys don't have a devil egg recipe?
That's true.
You know?
Shout out to our friend Jessica, our amazing chef, who gave me the most amazing recipe for vegan deviled eggs.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Those are really good.
Those are like
they're
better
potato
than,
ones?
Yeah.
Those are delicious. You use potato as the egg.
As the egg, okay.
And then what's in the middle?
It's like a tofu mix or something?
I forget exactly what goes into
probably.
I don't know what's in the middle, but it's good.
They're fucking delicious.
Mm, sounds good. I'm also proud. I went on my first real vacation that wasn't, I didn't do comedy on this this year.
That's impressive.
Which, like, it's been forever since I've done one of those. Because it's usually, like, I'll build something around a show or whatever. But then I went to Mammoth and, Yosemite
Tahoe.
And Tahoe. Yeah. It was great. I was like, oh, I should make space to do this kind of shit more often.
Yeah, vacation is a necessity.
I know, but it's like, you know, when you're touring it, like half the time it feels like vacation because it's fun.
You're, yeah. Well, and it feels weird to go. So you're like, well, I mean, I could do a show. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Money or do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I like to compartmentalize. Like, I love traveling and doing comedy shows places, but then I'll like work while I'm like during the day is a work day for me if I do that. Like,
for
I'll
sure.
be on my computer work. I don't really like make a vacation of it. Like, I'll just... Because I work off my computer anyway, so it's like, oh.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm on vacation, I'm not doing any shit.
I see what you're saying.
No, I see, yeah.
You know? It's good to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, rarely do I really, like, fully disconnect like that. But this trip, I, like, basically did for the
whole
time.
That's really good. That's so important to do that.
Yeah. Well, and also my laptop got stolen the very first day.
Right, so
it
like,
kind of
well,
forced me to.
They were like, this is for you, okay? Yeah. We're really...
Oh, my God,
this is a retreat, and we're sending you on it.
What are you proud of, Babs?
I can't think. Yeah, I'm having, like, a brain fart right now. I guess I'm proud of, like, yeah, I mean, I'm in, you know, a relationship for the first time in a while, and I'm proud of, like, being in a, you know, kind of, like, not running away like old Babs would do, and kind of, like, also that's due to him being an amazing person and, like, making me, like, not making me stay, that sounds terrible.
No, being worth staying for.
But, like, yeah, but, like, somebody working with me on, like, those parts of myself, you know, so, yeah, I think I'm proud of, like, the patience that I have for myself now and kind of like being able to stick through, stick out things that I probably didn't have in the past. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the thing about getting older, I think, and just kind of like being more comfortable with who I am and yeah. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like a yoga teacher that talks a lot about like recognizing the difference between discomfort and pain. Which I think really plays into relationships because it can be very difficult to discern the difference between the two.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that is something that you just evolve towards. It's like discomfort is actually very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've all obviously our natural inclination is to avoid it at all costs.
Yes.
But as you get older, you realize that there's a lot of value in being uncomfortable.
Growth happens there.
But the inverse of that is like, I think it's also easy to trick yourself into staying in a painful situation by just numbing yourself in a way.
Right, right.
That you just don't feel the pain. Like, I think it's really an important thing to like, see. Yeah. I know it's weird. Like, not that you can't, I mean, but being married is a trip because like, my instinct when I was younger was always like, fine, then fucking bye.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Right. Totally. Yeah,
I'll go stay at a friend's house. Bye.
Yeah. You're like, this is not.
And the first, like, not that you can't, you know, obviously you can leave marriage if you need to, but like that first like fight you have as a married person is a trip because it's just like, oh, we just have to like.
Let's figure this.
Figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's like a judge involved if this fight doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other level. Okay.
Next question.
Let's see. Other than time and I like that they say that. Other than time and money, what do you want more of in the new year?
Oh.
I think I would like more. I want to listen to myself more, because I have all these things I want to do that I hold mm-hmm. myself back from doing all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I literally, like, the past 2 months have been like, I really want to wake up and, like, go for a run, and I just don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. I sabotage myself out all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would like to, like, just start going with my instincts and stop talking myself out of things I know I want to be doing. Mm. It's like, I know I want to write. I know I want to practice piano. I know I want to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I somehow, like, figure out a way to, like, magically, mm-hmm. you know. So I'd like to really adopt healthier habits and, like, just actually be able to follow through on the things that I want to do.
For sure.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that, like, your own brain is engineered in a way that it's, like, there to shoot your own self
it's
in the foot?
It's so bizarre. I don't know why it does it constantly.
It's really weird. And that you have to go through all this, like, mental training to not listen to your own brain?
Yeah. It's really bizarre.
I don't get it.
It's like, I wonder what the evolutionary purpose of that is.
Yeah. I think that it is, I was talking with, I don't know, somebody about this, my therapist, someone in therapy, I don't know, like, about how literally everything we do is to protect ourselves pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a version of that.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't know what that is, because obviously the other thing is better for you, but it is some form of protection.
I think part of it is that anything that's good for you requires a certain level of risk.
Yeah.
And so maybe we have an evolutionary tendency to avoid risk as that's like a safety thing, right?
For sure, yeah.
That's probably part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that's got to be wrapped up in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
stay safe.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, I think too in our society, I don't know, I think everyone has, like, you know, pretty close to equal, like, masculine and feminine in them. They just mm-hmm. suppress certain parts of it. And so, you know, I don't think this is a woman thing, but I think the female side of your personality is, like, your instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our society is so misogynistic that we are just, it's drilled into our heads not to listen to your instinct.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's so easy to gaslight yourself and mm-hmm. just think, oh, why should I trust my gut? When it's like, how often is your gut right? So much more often than your head.
Yeah, your intuition is always like, you're like, oh, no, ding, ding, ding. But I'm going to ignore that for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm gaslighting myself out of exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it. What about you guys?
I would like to work more on creative outlets that aren't stand-up. Mm. That's something I want to be more focused on. Like, I have wanted to play. I mean, like, own a keyboard, I own a guitar, and I've fucked around with them forever. I want to, like, get more serious about both of those. I used to paint a lot, and I miss it. So I, like, want to, like, make space for things that aren't just, like, this is me, this is a creative outlet, but also a way that I could possibly make money off of it. Because, like, when comedy is your career, but it, like, was a creative outlet for a long time, it's, like, I've kind of combined those two things.
Yeah, so, it should be something where you can just, like, turn it off. It's like the cooking thing. You can just turn off and, like, focus mm-hmm. on it, but it's not, like, trying to worry about making money off of it.
For sure.
Yeah. But it sparks that same joy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's like, last month or a month or two ago, I, like, refinished this dresser, and I had, like, such a good time doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of stuff I want to do to my house anyway that, like, I like tactile projects, and I'm always, like, and that also frees up space in my brain for, like, to think of jokes or whatever, too, which, like, isn't the point, but, like...
No, it does. I think it makes, like, mm-hmm. releases you, because you're... It's kind of meditative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So making that, like, more of a priority is definitely something I want
to... I have so much shit I want to do to my place that I just am, like... But it keeps taking over my other goals. It's a distraction, because mm-hmm. I keep, like, buying things that I, you know, and I'm like, fuck, like... I know I'm nesting naturally because I'm in my mid-30s and shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just want to, like, have a nice place. But also I'm like, I keep spending a lot of time and energy on this. And it's annoying me because I don't have it.
Yeah.
You know what? I think what I say to you, let go of the, like, shame about that. Just enjoy that you bought this stuff and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But it's just hard because it's a never-ending list. So it's so easy to go to when there's other stuff mm-hmm. you can be working on.
When it's an avoidance thing.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like there literally could always be something I could be doing instead of writing or instead of, you know.
You blocked out your time more. We're just like, oh, this is, like, this weekend, this half day, I get to, like, work on all the shit in the house or whatever.
Yeah. I think I kind of told myself, I was like, I'm just going to start putting full days on there. It's like, that's all you do. It's fine. And then mm-hmm. that'll hopefully.
Yeah. And then not feeling bad about it. It's almost like better to just get it over with all in one thing and not feel mm-hmm. bad about it than to, like, maybe do a little bit every day.
No, that's, I think, worse for me at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think people say, like, working a little by little. I'm like, that's just not how. Oh, my God. Buddy's eyes are terrifying right now.
Oh, buddy.
Jesus Christ.
This happens when he sleeps sometimes.
Sorry. He was sleeping and his eyes were, like, half open. And that was, like, a devil face.
I guess I'll do, I mean, this is something I already kind of tried a couple years ago and was doing, but I would like to get back to learning Spanish.
Yeah.
Because I kind of dropped off this year and I feel like I'm going to be kind of, not back at square one, but have to, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like it'll start coming back to you quickly because, but you just have to do it.
Yeah.
Were you waking up and like doing the mornings?
Yeah. I mean, it was great because I had a commute to work. And so the tapes I was doing were like on the commute. Nice. And like I have in my head this plan of I'm going to do crunches while I practice my Spanish.
Oh my God.
It's very Sex in the City of you, it feels like.
But it's hard. It's so hard to just sit in your own house and do. It's all the discipline stuff, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I guess that would be the thing.
I was like Duolingoing like when I would walk Jack and stuff. Like that's usually like where I'll do like that, which is nice. And I was on a streak for like 100 and something days until I went on tour. And then just like your rhythm gets out completely, like whenever that shit happens. And I just kind of haven't gotten back in since then.
But yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun. Because it is fun to like, you pick up more the more you're like in it every day. And then I was kind of getting to a place where I was like thinking, I'd be like, oh, that's that word. This is also the Spanish word for it. Like
right.
I was like quizzing myself like around in the day and stuff. It was good.
Yeah. I think it gives a certain like mental elasticity. And I mean,
for sure.
LA is so cool for learning Spanish because there's just like free Spanish lessons everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And like when I was really into it, like every single time I saw a billboard with a word I didn't know, I would pull over and like look up the word and yeah, I was really, you know, obsessive about it. But I dropped it off. But I just think it's good. I don't know. It just gives you so much freedom on this planet.
Yeah.
To speak Spanish or a different language. I mean,
it's crazy the way that it was like, at least for me, language was framed in like middle school and high school as like, you need 3 years to go to college. You can't do it without 3 years. And I wish that it had been more like, this would unlock a large portion of the population in the world for you. And like, it's like cool to learn about other cultures. And it's a neat, just the way it was just forced at me was just so like academic.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It was presented as like you have to get these credits, not like you know, not that I probably would have fucking listened because I was a teenager, but
yeah, but it's still, I mean, I think it would have been like better, I don't know, you could phrase it so much differently and being like, oh no, there's like a whole giant population that you could like unlock and be able to like be around, you know, travel to more and speak more natively with. Yeah.
I mean, it should be more accessible to travel abroad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably like my number one regret in life is that I didn't travel abroad when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not like you know, that's hard to.
I know.
Pull off.
But I probably could have done it in college or something. I mean, there was probably a time when I was young when I could have. And I think that that's like, you're never going to be that age again and have that experience. And I think, I don't regret very many things, but I do regret that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the perfect way to learn a language.
Yeah, for
sure. I mean,
sure.
It's not meant to be something that you learn with some crotchety old French lady and a pair of headphones.
yeah.
No, when I went to Chile in college, it was definitely like, I mean, I was there for a month. And by the end, I could see how, if I had stayed there 2 more months, it would have been, like, incredibly, you know, influential in me learning. And I left just when I was, like, starting to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Mm.
So it was just like, oh, fuck, I can see how that, you know, I had this whole plan when I came back of, like, continuing it, but it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you can't practice it every day, then with people.
Yeah, I was gonna, my dad didn't, you know, speaks it fluently, but it was just like, and I was like, we'll have conversations in only Spanish, which is like, what didn't happen?
Well, it's also, it's a funny point to like in LA when you do know a little bit of Spanish to be like, you're like, oh, is it, am I condescending if I answer this question in Spanish,
or
like,
sure, what is either
like where do you employ it versus not?
I get so much stage fright, especially as a white lady, like, because I I like to go by like the street fruit and stuff like that, which is like, I'd like to order that in Spanish, but if I try once and they don't understand me, I'm like, mayday, bailing out, back to English.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't feel like an asshole.
But now my brother and I, because my brother speaks Spanish, so I do speak Spanish to him now when we want to talk about things that we don't want his daughter to understand.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's good.
What are you guys talking about?
Mostly, do you want to go smoke weed? Oh. Yeah.
Do you care to say it? What do you know?
No, I say tengo mota or, yeah.
Do you have smoke? Is that what that means?
Do you have weed?
Oh, weed. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, we'll be back in a second. I'm Lady Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we have the last lady problem of the decade.
Bom, bom, bom.
If you have any that you want us to solve in the next decade, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady, lady problems. Lady, lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems.
Hello, Barbara, Brandy, Tess, and maybe mystery guest. I almost sent you a problem a few months ago, but I didn't. It was regarding my terrible desk job and how to break away after only a few dreadful months. At the time, I was 22 and compromised with myself to give it a full year so I could maximize savings before moving out of my childhood home. But I've come to enjoy my workplace now. It seems I've become part of the machine, easily replaceable, but crucial to get things done. Okay. The issue is that the year has expired and I am comfortable. My entire plan post-grad was moving out of state to the big city with all the confidence in the world to make the most of my early career. There were a few factors that changed my future and forced me to move back home. I'm still in active recovery from PTSD and diagnosis of bipolar 1. My father just finished chemo, so staying home to help out has been for the best. My hometown is a large city. However, I don't have the best relationship with my parents or close ties to the community here, i.e. I literally have one friend. Despite all this, I fell into a loving relationship, but my partner has said they prefer a quiet life and wouldn't want to move to the city's best for my career. The idea of uprooting my life to chase an unknown dream used to fuel my ambition, but at this point, it is terrifying. I know I'm being impatient, but I feel if I wait any longer to make a change, I won't be living up to my full potential and ultimately have an unsatisfactory life. Is it time to sign a lease with my partner in the city where we both have stable jobs? Is it worth it to take a leap of faith? Where the fuck would I even go from here? My instinct is clouded, and I don't know what will feel right deep down. Big questions, but any advice from outside source would help put things in perspective. Love you ladies lots. This past 5 years listening has brought many changes, but always know that y'all will have always at least one Patreon member.
Aww.
That's sweet. Sincerely, Amy.
Oh, thanks, what a sweetheart. Amy.
That was really sweet.
Yeah.
Well, this plays into what we were talking about earlier.
It does, actually. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, you got to go with the, I would go with the discomfort.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you got to really, I think you kind of said it yourself was in this part. Where is it? When you said you were impatient, you were just like, oh, this is, I know I am being impatient, but I feel if I wait any longer, I think that impatience is that excitement. That's not impatience. That's you wanting to do it.
Yeah. And that is your intuition speaking up and being like, we got to go.
And you're right. I mean, that's also what I'm talking about how I wish I had traveled abroad.
Totally.
I got to an age where that was no longer possible. This age isn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
Do it.
You are at the time to really make the big, and obviously people make big leaps at any point of life, but you know, I moved to LA when I was 25. Like that was the time. I'm so fucking glad I did it then. That was the time to do it.
Yeah.
I was young enough to like, you know, have so much energy and be into meeting new people and just be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're at a really good point in your life to like make a big change like this. As far as age goes, you know, I know the other stuff is definitely a factor, but it sounds like you do know what you want. It's just about the fear of making that leap.
And like also the comfort isn't going to become less of a factor. Here's what it is. You just got invited to this really awesome party that is New York City.
Yeah.
But you already came home from work, took off your bra, poured a glass of wine, and snuggled up with your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're not going to become more likely to go to that party the longer you keep watching TV. No. Get in the bathroom, put on some makeup, put on a bra, and go to the New York party.
Because like you can always come home afterwards and take that bra back off for a minute, you know, home's gonna be there.
Yeah Which like I don't want to downplay either how difficult this is gonna be, because it is gonna be difficult.
It is especially when you've got a partner that you love and like you have like a life that you're like building with this person, you know, and they don't see a move in the cards for them.
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, I didn't have all that when I moved. I mean, I was dating when I met my ex-boyfriend who I was with before I moved here. We already knew I was moving.
Yeah.
So that was already a part of it, but I legitimately almost stayed for him. And like, you know, I was really in love with him Even though I said, I love you, and he didn't say, I love you back. So there's a red flag. And I truly was like just head over heels for this guy. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to move. And like, maybe I need to stay back here and be with this person. And I told him that, and he was like, no, he's like, you can't do that for me. Come on. Like, this is your fucking dream, you know? And so I don't think I would have stayed. I think my instinct was too strong to move, but it was like me kind of maybe trying to put up a roadblock, you know, to the fear. Cause it's fucking terrifying.
Well, it's the risk stuff we're talking about
exactly.
too.
Yeah. I was like trying to protect myself again. And it was, I mean, I can't imagine my life if I hadn't made that choice. Like I really can't. You've got to do the stuff that scares you. I mean, I was texting my boyfriend about this cause he's like a lot shyer than I am. And he has a hard time putting himself out there, and his band was performing for the first time, and he was just like, I'm so freaked out, you know? And I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
Doing the stuff that scares you is good. You need to do this. If the opportunity presents itself, which it doesn't a ton in his life, cause he doesn't do stuff like this that much. You have to take it. Cause it's like, that's what life is about.
Yeah. Well, that's when you get these giant, like, shots of self-esteem and stuff too, where you're like, oh shit, look how I landed.
Yeah,
look totally. What I did.
And he fucking
and there's
crushed
no
it.
Other way to do it.
Yeah,
there's no you
no,
can't
there's not
it. No, you can't get that any other way.
No, there's no substitute for it.
Yeah,
I also feel like doing things that you're afraid of is one of those things too. It's like the more you do it, the more that just becomes normal to you.
Yeah,
you do kind of develop like a tolerance to it, and to the point that I think it kind of ultimately ends up guiding you. Where like that's what your instinct is. It's like as soon as something scares you, you're like, all right, shit, that's the one I have to do.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever think about the most fun I've ever had on stage has been doing something where I was terrified. You know what I mean? Like something where I was like, I'm going to take a big risk and let's go for it. And then you feel like alive. I mean, that's what feeling alive is. So
yeah, and it's also like you really want this move. Like that's what your instinct is telling you to do. If you try to stay for somebody, you're going to resent that partner at some point too. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you said like I'm scared about. Obviously, I think one of the biggest fears for a lot of us is having an unsatisfactory life, as you called it. That's a scary, you know, aspect that you're going to get stuck in some job you don't feel great about, in a town you don't feel great about. But you literally have that option to like go for it and kind of build the life that you want. And I think that you know what you want.
Yeah, and obviously I think, you know, you probably know this, but whatever city you end up in, like make sure you have your like mental health stuff set up so you have a support, because it is probably going to be a big shakeup. And
for sure,
you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself wherever you go.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, I mean, you're just, you know what to do.
Well, and I will say, like, all the biggest gifts I think I've given myself are decisions that I've made that are like solely for me, like choosing to move to California and actually pulling that trigger, like starting to do comedy, you know, I mean, getting a breast reduction. Those are like always kind of the three big things. I'm like, oh no, that was for literally nobody else. That's like, those are all gifts I truly just gave myself. And like, they are things that I am proud of and define myself by more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have to look at we get so caught up in what everyone else, how everyone else is going to be affected. I think you do need to like sit there and be like, okay, let me block out everyone else for a second. And think like, what about me? What is the best thing for me to do?
Because doing that allows you to be more available to other people too. You're not going to be fully available to any partner if you feel that your life is unsatisfying. Also just trust. I mean, just trust yourself. I mean, that's the other part of like, the survival kind of like psychology is like, you will figure it out.
Yeah, you definitely will.
That's the number one advice I think for like any artist I have is like, don't get so caught up on the how are you going to do it, and just know that you will do it.
Yeah.
You're going to figure it out. Like, there's a million odd jobs. There's a million ways to make money. You need to pay your rent. You need to get groceries. You're going to find a way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like figuring that stuff out is like where self-esteem and stuff comes from too. Cause you're like, oh shit, look what I did. I did that.
Yeah.
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 It's exciting. I mean, I know it's really terrifying right now. It's a huge choice. But if you decide to go ahead with it, it's going to be a really cool, exciting, like, part of your life.
I think so. Yeah. Because, I mean, the worst case scenario, you fall flat on your face and you end up back in this town. You're still going to have that part of your life to look back on and be like, that was a really crazy, wild time.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. I fucking did that.
Yeah. I just like, God, I would give a lot to be able to go back to that, to moving to LA, like my first year. And you know what I mean? Just like throwing myself in and going for it. And I was lucky enough to have the ability to do that, you know, because not everyone has like those resources, but yeah, it's a, I don't know. It's just such an exciting time. And like, that's the thing, you can't always go home. And I don't think there's any shame in that either. If,
no.
If that's what happens, because you fucking did it. You gave it a shot and like, whatever. I mean, I think, I still think about moving home now and it's been 10 years in here, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
I did the thing. We'll see. I wouldn't have any shame moving back because like I fucking gave it a shot and
yeah,
I loved it and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not forever. Nothing's forever either.
No.
I think you have to remember that. It's like nothing's permanent.
Yeah, there's always a trap door somewhere. There's always a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially at your age. Oh, my God. I would give this advice to probably anyone, but 23 is old. But you're like
you are
prime.
The perfect age to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how old I was when I moved to California. Yeah, I just said, fuck it. Let's go. Let's get out there.
Yeah. I think the younger you are, the more kind of down to be scrappy you are.
Well, that's an important thing. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'll live with six other roommates in a fucking, you know, mildew corner or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the time. Is your standards for living are much less.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's an important step about moving to a big city.
Yeah, like the only way I could move to New York now is if I was wildly wealthy.
Oh,
there's no way I could do the like eight roommates in God knows
where. 6 floor walk up bullshit. Yeah. No, that's not something I could like step into at the moment.
Yeah, but that's good when you're when you are younger and moving because like it's built in, you know, here's the thing. If you move to a new city, start doing shit right away. I fucking, you know, took UCB improv class because just
knew what I, that's where we met.
Yeah, that's where we met. I mean, fucking me and Brandy met at UCB. So it's like, whatever you're going to do, like move into a place with six other people. You know, that's a built in like community of people. Start a class somewhere. Just like, if you do it, throw yourself in 100% because that's where, you know, you're going to meet the people that you've known for a decade now. I mean, we've literally all known each other for 10 years.
Yeah.
So.
And write down on a piece of paper what you're there for.
Yeah. Because
it can be, it is, it can don't want to like diminish how fucking hard the lifestyle of being like an artist is. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
So you really want to do whatever you can to not lose track of like what your actual goal is. Because you see that a lot in LA and New York too. Of like people get so caught up in the survival that they gradually let go of their dreams. It's like, no. Why did you leave this guy and keep up your stable job for this dream?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And like write yourself like either a piece of paper or a letter or something that talks about.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. Write yourself a letter right now, man.
Yeah. There's something fun to reread later down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote myself a letter while I was on shrooms at the Chateau Marmont.
Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I recently read it.
Nice.
And it was great. It was very inspirational.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
See, there's a good thing to reread.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, fucking go for it. We're behind you all the way.
Yeah,
definitely.
And let us know, you know, how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what happens. And
yeah, we're excited for you.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Hell yeah.
You're going to fucking rock it. 2020 is your decade.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Just do it. Well, you guys are our Christmas present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being the best listeners in the world. We love the hell out of you. You guys made this like, so, I mean, the best.
Absolutely. Lady is one of the most fulfilling things that I've definitely done in the last decade.
Yeah, it's so weird to think about because it's such a part of our lives. It's like anything where it's like when it's a regular part of your life, you don't like sit and think about it that much.
Yeah.
But actually sitting and thinking about what a cool experience it's been and how many cool people we've gotten to meet because of it and stuff like
that. Well, and it's cool because like we definitely have friends that'll be like, I think it's so cool that you guys like have been doing that for so long. Because at this point, it's like it's a body of work we have together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's awesome to get to point two and be like, yeah, I've been doing that for 10 years and it like pays part of my bills and it's fulfilling and nobody except for you guys can tell me what to do.
Pretty dope.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what the next decade of Lady to Lady looks like.
Me too. It's going to be, what I was going to say, CGI. It's going to be a hologram.
Oh my God.
We're going to be broadcast right into your living room. We're going to be the actual version of that.
Yeah.
You can take a picture with yourself in that ice cream thing.
Yeah. We should do, next decade, we're going to get VR, and then you can like VR into the corner and watch us.
This would be a cute one, because we're in the living room today with the Christmas tree.
Yeah, your face could be the Christmas tree in our VR.
We can all watch Showgirls together.
Yes, exactly.
That would be hilarious. It's just like hours of us watching TV.
Just in our sweatpants. Like, yeah.
Yeah, somebody be down.
But thank you all. Have a great new year, and we'll see you next year, everybody.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.